Okay, today we're going to learn Mishnah's Vav and Zayin of the third parakah of Maseches Peah. So let's begin. Mishnah Vav, the Mishnah is going to give us five different shittos of how big a field has to be in order to be chayiv in Peah. Five shittos that we're going to have. Number one, Reb Lezer Amar Karka Beis Rova Chayavs Bepeah. Karka that's big enough to plant a quarter of a kav, Rova Hakav, is going to be a chayiv in Peah. If the land, the whole land is smaller than that, then it's going to be pater from Peah. Because the chiyuv of Peah is from Sancha, is from your field, and the definition of a field from Peah has to be the same as the definition of a field for Klayim. And the Mishnah in the second parak of Klayim tells us that when a farmer grows two different types of items in his of produce in his land, he has to leave a rova hakav of land in between them. So Sancha lo sizra Klayim. So apparently, what is the definition of Sancha? What's the definition of a field? It is a rova hakav, and that's the basis for the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Hoses Asayim. Rabbi Yeshua says, even if you have land that produces only two sa'a of seeds, it's already going to be chayiv in peah. A sa'a has six kavs. Rabbi Lazar measured by how much seeds it takes to plant it, whereas Rabbi Yeshua measures the land by how much it produces. There are different types of measurements, right? It's how many seeds you need. That was the Tana, that was Rabbi Eliezer, the first Tana, versus how much it's going to produce. That is how Rabbi Yeshua is doing his measurements. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Shisha al Shisha Tfachim. Rabbi Tarfon says, any land that's six Tfachim by six Tfachim is chayiv in Peah. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Kedei Liksor V'lishnos. He says, even if the land only makes enough to take one fistful of produce from the field, and then Lishnos to repeat it, right? We have that Lashon of Lishnos a few times in Shas, like the Gemara says in Maseches Megillah and Daf Dalet, Chayiv Adam Likros as Megillah Belayla, V'lishnos Bayom, to repeat it during the day. So it's if it's enough to take one fistful and then another fistful, meaning two fistfuls, that's enough to be chayiv in peyav. Halacha kedvarav, and we paskin like that opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Beseira. Rabbi Akiva Omer karka kolshu chayiv is bepeyav. Rabbi Akiva says any size land is going to be chayiv in peyav because sadcha refers to sadcha kolshu, whatever your field is, however you want to define a field. So which is a little bit hard to imagine, meaning let's say the field were only one stalk, so then what are you going to do? It tells Yom Tov quotes from Yerushalmi that how do you leave peah from one stalk? As soon as you start harvesting the stalk, then it's harvested and there's nothing left to leave as peah. So it tells Yom Tov quotes that Yerushalmi says that if the single stalk has different ears of grain growing at the top, so you harvest one of the ears of grain from the stalk, and then the rest of that stalk is going to be the peah. So anyways, that's Rabbi Akiva's Shita. Kol Shu Uba Bikurim, and when it comes to Bikurim, to Bikurim also, you have to bring Bikurim from the Shiva Saminim that grow in Eretz Yisrael, right? Chita and Saora and Geffen and Te'ena and Rimonim and Zesim, right? Tirosh V'Yitzar meaning Zesim and Tamarim. So you have to bring the Bikurim to Eretz Yisrael. So let's say you have the tiniest piece of land that's growing one of the Shiva Saminim. So yeah, that's also called Reishis Bikuri Ad Mascha that you need to bring to Eretz Yisrael. And v'lichtav la prusbul, and to write a prusbul on the basis of ownership of such land. You can only write a prusbul if you own land. How much land do you have to own in order to be able to write a prusbul? Just the tiniest amount of land. Then there's another halacha that in order to acquire metaltalin, so normally you'd have to do a kinyan hagbah, you'll have to do a kinyan meshicha, some sort of hachnas l'reshuso. When you acquire karka, though, when you make a kinyan on karka, you don't need to actually lift it up or pull it, because there's no way to do that with karka. So karka has an entirely different set of kinyanim that allow for the purchase of karka. In order to acquire karka, what you do is kesef shtar or chazaka. You either give money, or you write a shtar, or you do what's called a kinyan chazaka. Kinyan chazaka means to be null gadar uparitz. It means that you build a fence, or you knock down the fence, or something like that. You do some work on the land that demonstrates ownership, and through demonstrating ownership, you taka become the owner. It is a form of kinyan. The word chazaka, Rav Shachter often points out throughout Shas, the word chazaka means like five different things in different places. Sometimes chazaka means that you live in a place for 3 years, and that's therefore a good enough reason for you to have lost your shtar, and we don't require require you to show a shtar that you are the owner of the field. Chazaka sometimes means ruba delesa kamad, that something is that way and has always been that way. That's a chazaka, like a chazaka in adam pareya b'toch zmano, that a person doesn't pay a loan before the time, before the loan is due. That's that. What does that mean? What kind of chazaka is that? It's ruba delesa kamad. It means that the majority of times that's the way people operate. So so even though there are different types of kinyanim that you have for karka and for metaltalin, there is a way to acquire metaltalin through kinyane karka, and that is if you're also kona karka at the same time. So if I buy karka and a pen and a book and everything else, all sorts of metaltalin, I could do a kinyan on the karka, and then agav that karka, I acquire metaltalin. How much karka do I have to be kona in order to be kona metaltalin together with it? Not very much. That's what the Mishnah is telling us, that you don't need to acquire all that much karka in order to acquire metaltalin with it. So anyway, these are the five different shittos as far as how much karka you have to own in order to be chayv in peya. The Tos Yom Tov points out that if we start with the largest shear and then it goes downward to lesser shiurim. So it goes down to smaller and smaller shiurim, and that's why he said kolshu is the last shear that's chayiv in peya and bikurim and all of these other things. Now it's interesting, in the right in the middle in shita number, what was it, in the shita number 3 or 4, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shur, Rabbi Tarfon, then Rabbi Dovim say Rashita number 4, we said halacha kidvarav. So Melech Shlomo, he writes ein lemeidin halacha mipi Talmud, that we don't learn what the halacha actually is based on the Talmud saying halacha kidvarav. That's what the Gemara says in the 8th parak of Maseches Basra, and he says vefshaliyah shel tamzeh maybe source Rabbi Kiva af pishu shu achar shoshana kvar v'halacha kidvarav k'moshe timtza l'kaman parak tazim Maseches Shviyis. Says maybe that's why we go through the logic for we mention Rabbi Akiva even though we already said halacha kidvarav of the previous Tana, because halacha kidvarav is not necessarily an instruction for us. Rabbeinu HaKadosh himself was not sure about saying halacha kidvarav. He was still mesupak about it, and that's why we still have the final shita even after having said halacha kidvarav associated with an earlier shita. Now, in the Mishnah Rishonah on the bottom of the Shnayis, he points out that we said karka kolshu is enough to be chayiv in bikurim. So he says Bartanura writes, "Al bikurim shel ilon." If it's bikurim of a tree, then it needs much bigger than a karka kolshu. Then you need 16 amos, and that's what the Rosh Mishants writes as well. Now, the Gemara in Babasu Daf Chavzayin says the same thing, but that's only as a dichui bialma, says the Mishnah Rishonah. They shouldn't ask on ula, but la halacha we paskin in the first parak of Maseches Bikurim, Mishnah Vav, that an ilan just needs melo ora visalo, even three ilanos, and one of them is very tiny. It could be that a kolshu is enough. So it could be that that the shear of 16 amos that the Bartanur points out for ilanos for bikurim is not necessarily la halacha about how much an ilan really needs in order to be chayiv in bikurim. Now we mentioned prosbul over here, so we said that a prosbul needs to, in order to write a prosbul, you need to have karka kolshu, because the Bartanur points out that Hillel was masakin prosbul when he saw that people weren't lending money to aniyim because they were afraid they weren't going to get the money back after Shemitah. So he was masakin as that to be moser shtaros of the Beis Din, meaning there is a mechanism that if you give the shtaros over to Beis Din, the Beis Din can collect on your behalf. What Hillel was misaking was that he institutionalized the idea of Moser Shtaros of the Beis Din by writing a prosbul. So you don't actually have to physically give your Shtaros over to Beis Din. By writing a prosbul, it's ki'ilu your Moser Shtaros of the Beis Din, and he institutionalized that mechanism that already exists, right? Otherwise, it's difficult to understand what prosbul is all about. Because what do you mean? Hillel's allowed to be misaking to go against the din in the Torah? It says in the Torah that you have to, that Shemitah's Meshamet. Elamai, he institutionalized that which was already there. Ooh, we're already running late over here, so let's do Mishnah Zayin very quickly. So the previous Mishnah said that a karka kolshu, according to Rabbi Akiva, is chayiv and bikurim and prosbul, and you could acquire metaltalin. So the Mishnah discusses other things that karka kolshu is enough for. Hakosim nechasov shchiv merav. A person writes over his property to other people when he's on his deathbed, because he feels that he's about to die. so he wants to make sure that he gets his affairs in order. Shir karka kolshu matanasa matana. So if he left over a little bit of karka, even the tiniest amount of karka for himself, then even if he has a refor shalema, the matana is going to count as a matana. But lo shir karka kolshu matanasa matana. But if he gave everything away, then his matana is not a matana, because he obviously only gave it away al das that he was going to die. But now that he recovered, he didn't mean to give away everything that he had. If someone is a shchiv mirah, he's dying, and he gives his property, he gives his nechasim to his children, and he gives to his wife even just a kolshu of land, she can no longer collect her ksuba, because the property that he gave her is in lieu of a ksuba. Rabbi Yosef says, if she accepts on her own to take a piece of land, even if the husband didn't write anything over to her, she just says, I'll take from the sons, even a tiny piece of land, so that's enough to make her lose her ksuba, meaning she can only collect the ksuba from the children if she didn't get an actual piece of land as part of the Yerusha. But if she received a piece of land from the husband, either as a shchiv mirah or even afterwards, then she would lose her ksuba. So let's quickly review. We learned two Mishnai, so Mishnah Vav, we learned the five different shitos about how much land you have to have in order to be chayiv in peya. And since the last shita was about karka kolshu being chayiv in peya, we mentioned that karka kolshu is also the amount you need to be chayiv in bikurim, and the amount you need to be able to write a prosbul, and the amount you need to make a kinyan on metaltalin agav the karka. And then in Mishnah Zayin, we said in karka kolshu is also the amount that a shchivmira has to leave for himself in order for his matna shchivmira to count as a genuine matana, even if he has a refuah shalema. But if he doesn't leave a karka kolshu, then the matana is not going to be a matana. If he gets better, he's going to be able to receive the matana back. And we said karka kolshu is also the amount that one has to give his wife in order to make it that her ksuba is not going to be binding, that she'll lose her ksuba, and that the children will get to keep the entire Yerusha. Be'ezus Hashem, next time we'll pick up with the eighth and final Mishnah in the third parak of Maseches Peah.